Hello, Fight and Sight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm your guest co-host for the day, Demetrius, a.k.a. Jimmy Stavros. And with me, as always, is your host, Timmy B. Before we start, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tell your friends about it. If you like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and save 15% by using code FIGHTINSIGHT15. On today's episode, we talk to a tough 30 competitor, discuss the fallout of UFC 276, preview UFC Rafael versus Rafael, and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it!
I saw you stole Prince's elbow swipe. That's fine. Guys, you're going to recognize our guest today from the current 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter, a last-minute substitute for Team Pena on episode 4. She made her way to the semis with a dominant victory over Catherine Paprocki. Then in the semifinals against number one seed Brogan Walker this week, she unfortunately lost a very close, some may say robbery, three-round decision. But I guarantee you that is not going to stop this chaotically skillful and beautifully destructive fighter. Ladies and gentlemen, from San Clemente, please welcome to the podcast.
Hi, guys.
Laura, La Jefa, Gallardo. Sorry about the delay. Yes, co-host.
Okay, how you doing, Laura?
I'm doing well, guys. Thank you for having me on. I truly appreciate it.
Good, good. Well, this is your first time on, hopefully, of many appearances, and this will definitely be Dr. Jim's last appearance. That was a terrible intro. No. Laura, welcome to the show. We really appreciate you coming on. First off, congratulations on your performance in the show, not just as a fighter, but as a person. I think you really have so far presented yourself very well in the show. You've gotten some, I feel like you've gotten more camera time than a lot of people.
I think maybe because I was in the semifinals, so maybe that has something to do with it. And they just, put up their attention on the people who are in the semifinals.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think more so for that reason.
You had a few things. I mean, you came on as a surprising substitute onto the show. Now, I don't want to start our relationship off with lies. Were you actually on the show like the whole time and they pretend to bring you on, or did you really get a call in?
No, I was actually the alternate. I went with everyone else to the hotel where they did the medicals. We were there for a week. We were quarantined, couldn't leave the room. They brought us food to our rooms. I was there that whole week. And then come Friday, someone leaks a list of the cast members, and I wasn't on the list. And, you hear from your manager and the production team, oh, you're going to make it. We love you, blah, blah, blah. They obviously, that didn't happen. And then I had someone come into my room and tell me, like, oh, this isn't the actual list. It got leaked. And then I don't know why, but it ended up being the actual list. And they told me, well, we need you to stay here just in case anything were to happen. And in my mind, I was like, well, I'm not on the list. I'm not going to be stuck in a hotel room where I can't, have my training. I can't do my things. So I asked if I could leave on Tuesday. But before I left, they kept telling me, like, you never know what's going to happen. Like, we're going to have you on the list just in case. And then I get a call, I think, on Friday when I'm home, saying, hey, like, someone dropped out. Can you come back?
No
way. And I'm
like,
oh, yeah, I can come back. When do you guys need me? And they're like, be here tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm there. So it all happened. Like, I was there, and then I came back, and then I went, and then I entered the house.
That's crazy. So, man, that what a roller coaster of emotions, like, to go back and forth.
Yeah, I was, like, excited that I got on the show, and then I was sad I wasn't on the list, and then I was even more sad that I didn't get chosen, and then I went back home, and then I got excited because I got a fight for Invicta that I was going to take before coming, before even knowing that I was going to be on the show. And then I said no to that because then this happened. So it was a lot of like this, but the goal through all of this has always been to fight. So whether it was going to be on the show or whether it was going to be for another organization, that is always the goal. So when I went back home, with that mentality, and I just kept training. I just, stayed in shape, kept eating good, and knew that once the opportunity rang, I knew it was going to ring, I was going to be ready.
Nice. And I know in doing some research about some of your past fights and in watching you, are you actually a strawweight?
So I started my career as a 125er and then went down to 115. So my last two fights were 115.
Right.
And this was at 125. So I walk around like 128, 129.
Okay.
So I can be a 125er if I want and a 115er if I want.
Nice. Okay, that's good. So then it leaves the door open. I mean, if UFC calls you in, obviously we're just getting down to the finale of the show, but are you hoping that they bring you in for that Ultimate Fighter finale? Because oftentimes they'll bring in, you know, some of the more popular fighters from the show.
I haven't heard anything, but I'm praying every day. Sending my prayers up to the sky, please. But yeah, I haven't heard, but I'm really hoping that they do.
Yeah. I think they will, right, Jim?
I think so. I have a very strong feeling that they're going to be doing that. You've been an extremely popular personality on the show, and I think that it would just make sense for them to do that. And again, I also want to congratulate you. I think that's fantastic what you've been doing and what you've been accomplishing. And, looking at your resume as well, I think you've done an exceptional job of representing yourself. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
And, okay, and I said, like, on the show, you're a good person. I am going to say, I was really mad that on the episode where you confronted Helen Peralta about the alcohol thing. Okay. Well, we never see you confront her, but that's what plays out. I'm so mad that your team doesn't get behind you and say, yeah, man, you can't be drinking and being, you know, drinking to excess or drunk, whatever you want to say, but you can't be drinking and coming to practice. Was that edited out or did your team really not like back you up? I was annoyed at that.
So, it's weird being in a house, right? You don't have your family, you don't have your friends. And I think my team wanted to be supportive of both of us.
Yeah.
So I can understand that they weren't all on my side. You know, they were actually on both of our sides because they understood from Helen's perspective, you know, she did that because she was very sad. You know, she needed a day where she just needed to like kind of like let loose and not have to really go with what she was going through. But I have to say that like I honestly I didn't see that episode. But Mo was the he was the middleman. Like Mo came
up to
us both. Yeah, and he brought us in, and that was real. Like he really was rooting for both of us. He loved Helen. He loved me. Like he really wanted us to get together. I did have conversations on the side, and that you know, so I had some teammates tell me that what I did was right. I also felt like, well, then why didn't you say anything? You know.
Yes.
But again, like I'm very vocal with, you know, when I feel something is off, and when I, you know, see something, I'll say it to your face. I have no problem with that. I don't need to look good for anybody. You know, I took that as a disrespect to her coming in, you know, drunk, especially since, you know, it's four girls, four guys. We don't have a complete team and we needed drilling partners, you know, like who am I going to drill with if someone's, you know, half there, you know, makes no sense and I could get hurt. So I did what I thought was right. And I, you know, I stand by it. I wouldn't, you know, walk into like an emergency room or, you know, in a lawyer's office or any other room, you know, doing any other job drunk. You know, I'd want to come in sober or fully there and 100%, you know, be able to give myself to what I'm doing at hand. So I think that's what I did. And I love my teammates. Can't say anything bad about them. They were there for both of us. So
no, of course. And it did play out well. I was just thinking, like, just so that you know, when I'm watching at home, I was screaming at the TV, like that I was mad for you. And also just something you said, next time you're on the podcast, you can show up drunk to this. This is very low level.
Hilarious.
I'm 50% sure Jim is drunk right now. So I don't
know. Well, this isn't just water, guys. It's not just water. Oh, of course it's water. This is a professional setting.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Okay. Talking about being in the house, they don't show on the show. They don't show a lot of like what happens in the house anymore. Like it's very just about like your past life, a little bit of training, and then boom, right into the fights. old seasons, it was all about like all the interactivity between the fighters and stuff like that. I did want to ask one thing. Hannah Guy.
Yes.
She was in your corner. She looks, she looked pretty, she's cool girl. Like you like her. She's nice.
Oh, we're best. I stayed really good friends with, Juju. So Juliana Miller and with Hannah. So we're all,
okay, nice.
He's actually here in San Diego training with us and stuff.
Hannah?
Yeah. Okay. So we're hold really on.
Hannah lives in an ambulance.
Yeah, she does.
Okay.
And I saw it. It's pretty rad.
I know, but Laura, is this? I'm concerned. Is that like what? It's dangerous, man. Jim, do you know about this story?
No, I don't. But I do know people. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go.
No, go.
No, we have good friends from California that came to visit us, and they live the van life, and it's the sickest conversion I have ever seen. So I don't know if this ambulance is the same deal, but like you could live comfortably in this van life thing that people like to do. I don't know. Maybe it's the same scenario.
It literally is like a little room. She has her kitchen, she has her bed, she has her storage, she has her fridge. She's working on her shower unit. It's livable, you know? And I mean, I understand like safety and everything, but she's, you know, she's been doing that for a while. So I'm sure that she puts herself in like safe situations and, you know, parks and neighborhoods where, you know, she doesn't have to feel afraid or anything.
I don't even feel safe in my own house sometimes. Like, I don't know. It was so funny because on the episode, you guys are there and then like she talks about it. And then all the fighters, again, I don't know how much is edited, but all the fighters are like, that's so cool, man. You live in an ambulance, blah, blah. And I'm like, is nobody going to say like, hey, can we help you? Like, and then she's got a boyfriend. And I'm like, do you live in a house? Because you could like have her live with you. What's the deal, man?
That's hilarious. No, I mean, we all thought it was cool, you know? I think when you meet someone like that, you know, she's such a, and if you ever have her on the podcast, you'll see for yourself, she's such a free spirit.
She seems amazing. Yeah. Yeah,
her goal has always been to train at different locations. And it's so much easier to train at different locations when, you know, you can drive with your house. You know, you literally have everything. You're just like, okay, like, let's go over here. Let's go over there. So I think that's her intention. You know, I think eventually maybe she'll settle down and like get a house or, you know, move in with somebody's. But as of right now, she's such a free spirit. She just wants to learn and grow and go wherever she can.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's just such a weird thing. And then the show really like passes by it quickly. And I was like rewinding my DVR. I'm like, wait, what?
There's like no details about it. Yeah.
I just skim past it. Okay. So on the show, talking about the drama and stuff that goes on, it was, you know, the reason why I really got invested in this season before it started was because it was Nunes and Pena. And I'm like, oh, baby, this is going to be fireworks. And then nothing. Like,
oh my God,
they don't show any like arguments between the two. And then in some things that they've released online, I'm just going to put something up on the screen here. There was articles, Amanda Nunes, this is her saying, I don't know if she was used to seeing me all the time. And that's why she pumped the brakes on the stuff. I even told her, don't you talk online? I'm in front of you now. Open your mouth. I even tried to poke her a little bit to see if I could get something out of her. I didn't understand. And then Juliana responds by saying, I already beat you. You hadn't been submitted. You hadn't been stopped. You had the title reign. I beat you. You know, why kick a dog when it's down? That's just not my style. That's not my character. I mean, was there anything between them? Like,
so there was obvious tension, you know, like they didn't, I don't, when Amanda said that thing about poking her, you know, when we did the weigh-ins and the face-offs and stuff, and when we did interact with them, I didn't see, like, any poking. If anything, I saw that, like, Amanda was just a little, like, just, yeah, I didn't see any poking. You know, the only thing that happened that I wish they would have aired was, I think it was for my weigh-ins, and this is so petty of it, I thought it was awesome. the camera says, go. And then Juliana just takes off walking. And then we leave the other team behind. And they're, like, trailing behind us. And Amanda's, like, trying to keep up. And then as we're in line waiting for them, Amanda's like, well, I want to retake the shot. Let's go back. And then she takes her whole team back while we're waiting. You know, I want to weigh in. And now we're waiting to retake the whole shot. And then Juliana, like a boss, was like, we're just going to stay here. We're not going to move. We're not going to do this for them. And we were waiting. Like, the whole team was waiting for, like, I would say, like, it felt like 5 minutes, but maybe it was 1 minute. And they made her walk back. Like, no cameras on her, nothing. Like, they just, they're like, come on, guys, we're not doing this again. And I just thought that was, that's the extent to, like, the beef, I guess, was, like, she just, Juliana just held her place, like, at all times. Like, you could tell that she was the walking champ and the reigning champ. Like, she did not, she was not submissive, did not waste any time waiting on Amanda. Like, I don't, yeah, maybe, and I, like I said, I never saw Amanda poke at her. So maybe that's, there's no, like, spark of, like, an argument or anything, but it was very much like how you're seeing in the show.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, no, there was no, if there was nothing much more than that.
No, no, that's okay. But it's funny because, you know, that's why on this podcast, we predicted that Juliana would beat Amanda Nunes. We even said second round submission. We got it to the T, but Juliana has such confidence, mm-hmm. right? Like, and like you're saying, like, oh, she's yeah. the boss. Like, she just stands her ground. She's not, you know, and leading up to the fight always, she was just very confident. And I love that about her. You knew her before or no?
Oh, no, that was my first time meeting her. I've never met her before.
Okay. And then how's your relationship now? Do you still chat with her? Is there anything?
I still chat with her. So after the show ended, I went to go train up in Chicago for about 2 to either 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And she let me stay at her house, stayed in the extra room, you know. She fed her like pre-made meals. She took me everywhere. Her training was my training. Like, she introduced me to some awesome people. She, yeah, we're still connected. She actually texted me, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. How I, you know, how are you feeling? You know, because my episode aired.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
like
right,
she
yeah.
was checking in. No, we're still keeping in touch. I love her. Like, she was an amazing coach, and beyond like coaching, she was an amazing human. You know, her dedication, her passion, and just the way she carries herself. Like, I got to see it on the show, and then when I went to go visit, I got to see it off the show. Like, she is all about, you know, her fighting and her, her fights.
No, she's awesome. I love her coaching style. Like, I love her fighting style. I love her personality that she always displays. But on the show, her coaching style, I love it. Every time, you know, for your fights, when she's speaking to you in the corner, I love the way she, like, focuses on you, gives her clear direction. Like, I really like that. She's good.
And the good thing is that I can hear her. Like, she tells me what, I feel like, I'm really good at hearing the coaches and then doing what they tell me. And I feel like I was able to hear very clearly in my first fight and in my second fight, which was awesome. Sometimes I'm unable to hear my coaches.
Yeah, no, it's good. She's very impressive as a coach. I really like her. I'm going to show you something when it comes to training. I've been showing a few of our guests this video, Dr. Jim. I don't know if you've seen this yet. And I know Dr. Jim will have a medical take on this, but this is a... This is a video of Supergirl from One FC. Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a girl, Supergirl. This is a video that One FC puts out on their thing. And so, followers of the podcast, you've seen this before. I'm going to play this video, and I want you to tell me what you think, Laura. Here we go. Comment.
Okay, first of all, I hope she knew that was gonna happen so she could play it off. But if anyone were to do that to me just to be funny, I'd get right back up and be like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? This is my life and this is my career. You don't trip me while I'm kicking somebody. Like, do not do that just to be funny. You can be funny with your own life, but I take this part very seriously.
Boom. Laura, that's exactly
there's a good risk of injury there. Yeah, no, just looking at that, she could dislocate her shoulder, she could hurt her collarbone, she could hurt her elbow. That's kind of a shady move.
No. Yeah. Even
there's
if
like
she
there's other places to be like funny and have fun in training, but not when you're high kicking someone to the head and you don't have your feet underneath you.
Laura, even if she knew that was coming, it doesn't matter. Like, you're still taking a pretty good fall. She doesn't seem to really be ready for it. So, man, that I am not happy with that. What I'm doing, Laura, just spoiler alert, I'm asking a bunch of fighters their comment, and then I'm going to make a nice little video showing all your comments. So nice. All right. I do want to ask you something. I really love this that I watch on your Instagram. And so, you know what, I should put up your handle here on the bottom of the screen. It's going to go, but everybody should follow you, right? At Blessed Laura. You have a great Instagram page. The stuff you do is fantastic. If you love cute little dogs, you've got your cute little dog. You got a, is he there now?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
What a cutie. What is your doggie's name?
Her name is Zuli.
Zuli?
Yeah. And we can follow Zuli. Her at queenzuli_ on Instagram.
Oh, no, say that again.
Queen Zuli and then _.
All right. Nice. Well, everybody will first follow Blessed Laura and then follow Queen Zuli. Yeah. All right. On your Instagram, there's a lot of times now that I've met you, now that I found you, you do a lot with tarot cards.
Yeah, I do. I brought my Oracle decks on the show.
Okay.
Because I don't read the Bible, and you're allowed to bring something religious. But I told the production people on the team, I was like, you know, I don't have any books. Like, this is what I use, you know, to communicate with spirit. Like, this is my tool. And he's all like, I think that's fine. Go ahead, bring it in. And then they never said anything. So I was using my card decks every day. And then I was letting my teammates use them all the time, too. I even let Juliana and Mohammed keep a couple of them because they resonated so much with them.
That's awesome.
Some stuff like happened with the cards that I thought were so awesome and so sad that they didn't get to show air on the show. Like one of them was before Juliana's first fight, she pulled I have this deck here called Angels and Ancestors.
Okay.
And she pulled the Warrior card. And I thought that was fucking awesome because she was about to go and fight Claire, right? And, you know, what a perfect card to pull. And then the day of the fight, she loses the card and she's like, I lost it. Like, I don't know where it is. Like, yeah. And I'm like, I think it was the cleaning people, you know, they seem like they don't like that kind of stuff. And but anyways, like, she ended up winning her fight and she was going on about the card. And I told her, I'm like, hey, mamas. You know, sometimes when spirit gives us a lesson, you know, or gives us a card and we lose it, like, that's just for you to always remember that you don't need it. You don't need that card anymore. Like, that warrior spirit is within you and you don't have to have it laying around to see it. Like, you are going to embody it for the rest of your life. Like, that was just meant to be her card. And now you've seen her on the series. She's a fucking warrior. So I thought that was so awesome. I'm so bummed that they didn't get to show it. But hey. Yeah, I don't do the edit.
Yeah, no, that's cool. No, okay, so hold on. I've never seen any of the tarot stuff on the show. I only see it on your Instagram.
Yeah.
So how can I, if you don't mind, I'm just so curious. So did you study it or like, how did you get involved in that?
So I didn't study the tarot deck. It all started with, I took some Reiki classes during COVID and became a master Reiki. But I don't like to say that because it was online and I'm more of like a hands-on person. So I definitely want to go and study in person. And then from that, it, you know, came to like Oracle decks. And then Oracle decks are different than tarot decks. They have different cards and there's like there's no major arcana and minor arcana. And I can go into like detail, but I won't. But anyways, my sort of thought is like, if everything is energy, then these cards have energy. And if everything is connected, then I'm connected to these cards. These cards are connected to the universe. The universe is connected to the spirit and so on and so on and so on, right? Everything just keeps expanding. So I just use it as a tool to know myself more. You know, I ask very specific questions. I, you know, sit with them. I meditate. And then whatever comes out, I take it as a life lesson, you know. I'm a big believer that we have like shadows in our lives and the things that trigger us and the things that make us scared or the things that make us happier or just things that like, you know, get emotion out of us. There's a reason for that. And I like to uncover that, you know, I like to shine light on that. So if I can know myself to the best of my ability, then, you know, no one has a say of like who I am, you know, what I should be like. I have a say of who I am and who I should be. No one gets to put their voice into that. So I just use the cards as a tool. You know, I, I know I'm always connected to spirit, and that's just another way that I can connect myself more.
It sounds like it's a great way to focus attention and intention and mm-hmm. also manifest your reality. Like if you have yes. Specific goals that you have set in mind, this sounds like an excellent tool for working towards that. And, you know, it's all when trying to manifest your reality, it's all about intention and maintaining that focus on that one thing. And working on that goal towards getting that. And, you know, it sounds like a wonderful tool for that. And, you know, what you're doing is exactly this sort of manifestation. Your goal is what you're doing and you're focusing on that.
Yeah, that's how I mean, that's how I start my mornings, because that's how I like to think of it. Like every morning, I don't want to wake up like a robot, you know, with like these meditative like thoughts and habits. And, you know, I know how my body works. So I like to sit down and I like to be intentful. I like to have an intention for the day. I like to remind myself why I'm doing the things I'm doing, you know, who I am, you know, where I belong, like all these things. And then once I remind my body and my soul and my spirit of all these things, then I can walk through the day with intention, you know, and not have to like just randomly like, work off of like reaction, you know, like sloppy to like, you know, someone yells at me or someone does this and I'm like, blah, blah. Or, you know, something happens in practice that I didn't want to happen. And I get up and I'm like, you know, talking back to my teammate or my coach, like none of that. Like I'll always like come back to a place of intention of like setting like, yeah, I don't even like to set like little goals for the day. It's always like intentions of the day. You know, if the intention is to learn, I'm always going to be learning. If the intention is to grow, then I will always be growing, you know? Yeah,
that's fantastic. Yeah, it's a lot like meditation, or even is a form of meditation. There's a ton of research behind how healthy and effective it is for mental well-being, and also you know, focusing in on exactly what it is that your goal is. So meditation is a wonderful thing for a lot of people to be incorporating into their daily routine.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, it calms your mind, it clears your mind. And it makes you comfortable with being with yourself, which I think a lot of people are not comfortable with. You know, we have our phones, we have our TV, we have so many things that distract us. But if you aren't comfortable with like your feelings and allowing yourself to calm your nervous system, then being in like situations like fighting, it's not going to be the easiest, right? Like I need to learn how to sit with myself, because when I get into these high pressured situations, when I step in the cage, I know what I can do to calm myself down. Because I'm not going to be depending on my corner to calm me down, you know, like they're already on the other side, you know, it's only me and me. So I feel like a lot of these things, meditation, cards, sitting, breathing, like help me just really come back to my center.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. Are you able to do, if when we have you back on the podcast, and I keep like just subconsciously telling you you're coming back on, but when we have you back on, would you be able to do a tarot card or oracle card with us on like over the thing? I don't have to be in person with you?
No, as long as I have your permission, everything,
Yeah, that would be awesome. I really love it. I'm so interested in that. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to follow you. Of course, from now on, you're a friend of the podcast, Lara. So we're going to be following you, supporting you. We do friend of the podcast updates. So whenever there's fight news for you, we will be saying, before we let you go, last question, really, I don't know whether the tarot cards or the oracle cards have told you, but what is next for you?
So as of right now, I haven't heard anything about, you know, being on the finale or them adding contestants onto the card. Mm-hmm. But what is next, I guess I'm going to just be looking for a fight. Like, I just want to stay ready, get my next opportunity for any fight, and then hopefully, you know, the UFC calls one day, you know, I'm like so heartbroken that it didn't happen for me, you know, in the Ultimate Fighter a bit. I know things happen for a reason. I know my journey isn't like everyone else's, and I just got to carve my own path. So hopefully, you know, get in a couple more fights and then the UFC calls.
UFC will be calling before a couple of fights, Lara. You're a superstar in the making. Like, your personality, everything about you is great. You put on a hell of a performance. I'm sure, you know, Dana and Forrest are there watching. I'm sure they know that you're worthy of getting in there, and I can't wait to see it happen. Before we let you go, is there anything that you want to say to fans, followers, viewers, friends, sponsors, anything that you want to say?
I guess just to the fans, because I've been actually receiving a lot of love. You know, I felt really nervous with this episode coming up, and with everything with what happened with Helen, I wasn't sure how it was going to get portrayed. But, you know, I just want to say thank you for, you know, messaging me and following me. And if I don't respond, it's just because I get a little bit overwhelmed. But I do read those nice messages. I appreciate your guys's support. And yeah, just thank you for everything.
Oh, that's amazing. Laura, I'm so happy that you came on the podcast. For those that remember Matt Queso Padilla, you guys are friends. You trained together. He's the one that put us in touch with you.
I'm so thankful for him. Dude, he's one of the best training partners I've had. You know, him and Trevor Wells over in Temecula, they're up there. And I hope that, you know, I can't wait to see him fight one more time. And
yeah, I've been asking him.
He's pretty legit for even being an amateur right now.
Yeah, yeah, I know. We love Queso. Do you see him? He often wears our t-shirt while training. Now you'll recognize it.
Now that you say that, he does.
Yeah. Our shirts are very comfy, Laura.
Yeah, they must be.
Laura, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been a wonderful opportunity for us to meet you, and we hope all the best for you. We wish you all the best, and we will definitely have you back on the podcast one day.
Thank you so much, guys. You guys have a beautiful day, okay?
You too, Laura. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. All righty. Dr. Jimmy.
Timmy B.
Aside from messing up that intro.
There was dead air. I don't know what it was. It must have been a glitch in the Matrix or something. I don't know what the hell happened there.
You're so nervous.
Yeah. Oh, no. These red cheeks, I swear, are not from nerves.
Okay. So, guys, you know, if you're here watching this podcast because of Laura, she is amazing. Thank you for joining us. Please stick around with the podcast. We have tons of great episodes. This is episode 73, Dr. Jimmy. Mm-hmm. So we have been going for a long time, and I appreciate it. Dr. Jimmy is our special guest co-host of the day. So thanks to Dr. Jimmy for coming, buddy.
Absolutely an honor to be back here, Tim. You know how much I love you, and I love your show and what you guys are doing. I think it's incredible, and watching it grow is such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. At the top of the show, you said, you know, to go to middaysquares.com and use code FIGHTINSIGHT15. They are a longstanding supporter of ours, so we really appreciate them. We appreciate their product. Dr. Jimmy, aside from you, you should go and buy it. I do have some, which I will bring to you next time I see you.
Fantastic.
But I want to talk a little bit about a Friends of the Podcast update. Mm-hmm. Ricky, speaking of tough, Ricky Tercios, the winner of season 29. He was on our podcast, one of the greatest podcasts we ever had. Ricky Tercios fights this weekend, July 9th. So we're super excited for him. Lupi Godinez, former guest of the show, of course. She's, you know her, right, Lupi? She's the one that fought like 3 times in 40 days or whatever it was. She just booked October 19th against Angela Hill. Jim, this is the perfect fight for her. Do you understand? She's going to destroy Angela Hill like really badly. And Angela Hill has a great name behind her. She's a great fighter, and I'm sure she's a lovely person. But man, that is a good fight for Lupi, Dr. Jimmy. Like, really
fantastic.
I am super excited for her for that October 19th. We've reached out to her. She's going to come back on the podcast before.
Amazing. So amazing.
Regan Coconut Gowing. We had her on just a few weeks ago. She has her championship fight July 8th on Lion Fight for Muay Thai. Dr. Jimmy, right down your aisle on Fight TV. So go watch on Fight TV July 8th. And then Jenna Bishop, our guest from just 2 weeks ago, she's fighting in LFA. She's fighting on Fight Pass July 8th as well. So July 8th, go watch Regan Gowing and tune into Jenna Bishop. Both of our former guests are on the on fights on July 8th.
It's going to be a busy weekend, Tim.
Busy weekend. I have no time for anything, Dr. Jim. let's get to some UFC 276 fallout. Lots of stuff happened. Most importantly, our best friend, Brian Bam Bam Barbarena, with the goddamn knockout. We've been yelling at him for five podcasts. We've yelled at him and said, can you just goddamn finish your fights? Like, we don't need these drawn out wars, you know? And I feel like he's doing it just so he can get fight of the night. You know what I mean? Because he wants that extra 50 Gs. Well, he finally listens to us, finishes Robbie Lawler in the second, and still gets fight of the night.
Like, amazing.
Incredible, dude. So happy for Bam Bam. That was an amazing fight. Dr. Jim, what was your favorite fight of the night?
I guess I have to go with the finale, Cannoneer and Adesanya. I know that there's, you know,
were you having trouble sleeping, or what was your?
I know that there was not a lot of what people were hoping to see fireworks, but it was a very technical fight. It was a very it was a very technical, skillful fight. I think Cannoneer did an excellent job of trying to bring it to Adesanya, but Adesanya has an amazing capability of keeping distance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so disappointed that you said that was your favorite.
Okay, fight. Okay, maybe not. Like, let's okay.
Hold on. No, let's get to it, because we are, you know, we're going well on time. But I mean, okay, so interesting fight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of criticism after the fight, though.
Yes,
based on the performance, they're calling him the last decision bender. Right?
Yeah.
The guy is not finishing fights.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, Chris Pratt, you know,
I read that. Yeah.
He comes out saying, "Hey man, you can't do all this talking and then just go out and do the little pitter patter." Right. So when you've got a Guardians of the Galaxy complaining about you, not the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to say, so I've prepared some graphics that mm-hmm. I'm going to show you. So people complaining about Stylebender, complaining about Adesanya. And I'm like, okay, well, here's something that I've always looked at. You know, we're Canadian, so GSP is like our, you know, our leader, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People were always like, oh, GSP, one of the greatest. And I would always counter that by going, I don't know. And I'm going to show you a stat on screen here. And for those that are listening on audio, come on over to video. You can catch it on YouTube, catch it on Spotify. Here, Dr. Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, GSP in non-title fights, and by what I mean by non-title fights is he doesn't have the title going into it. So whether he's fighting for the title or a non-title fight,
mm-hmm.
he finished 6 of his 9 opponents in the UFC for a finishing rate of 67%. Once he had the title and he was defending a title, 1 finish in 9 fights, 11%.
That makes perfect sense when you consider that as the champion, you want to retain that belt. And I know what you're saying. GSP, one of the greatest, but also as the champion, would not finish many of his fights because of the fact his strategy was to keep his belt. He wanted to win the fight and keep his belt.
Yes, but is that what we want? That's not what Chris Pratt wants.
No, that's right. That's what the fans want. They want to see fireworks. They want to see knockouts. But, you know, as right. an athlete, and you want to stay at the top of your game, and you want to be the champion in your weight division, you're going to fight the fight that you need to retain your belt.
Sure, but mind you, that percentage drops from 67% to 11%, right?
It's a pretty steep drop.
It's a pretty bad drop. Now, name a champion that you think has a better finishing rate.
Stipe Miocic.
No, I do not have a slide for that. Pick another one.
The greatest? Anderson Silva.
Boom. Here we go. Not planned. Non-title fight, 6
come on,
out
look
of
at that.
7, 86%. Title fights, 8 out of 10, 80%. He is consistent with his finishing rate. So he go again, if I spoke too fast, 86% in non-title fights, 80% when defending a title.
We have to consider that Anderson Silva is, I would arguably say, the best striker ever to grace the octagon in the UFC. He has the technique required to do that 80% knockout in title fights. But I think also when you watch the way he fights, or when the way he fought, he went for the finish. That was his goal.
Who are we talking about?
Silva, Anderson Silva.
Okay. Now, let's see if you can get this. What is the one UFC champion, almost on par in GOAT status, who actually improved his finishing rate after getting a title? Can you guess, Jim? Fans at home, play along. Can you guess who is the UFC champion, one of the GOATs, who improved his finishing rate once he got the title? He would not stop. Jim, this is what we call dead air, my friend. Take a pick.
I'm going to say Khabib.
No.
No. Oliveira. Oh, Demetrius Johnson. Yes.
Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. Again, this is UFC fights we're talking about. 0 out of 4 fights did he finish with non-title or fighting for the title. Once he had the title, 8 out of 11, 73%. this guy got better with the title. And here you go. That's not a guy that has finishing style. That guy is very much like GSP in terms of like style, I would say. GSP, I feel, is even more of a striker. And Demetrius, finishing fights, man.
Yeah.
Dr. Jimmy, we got onto this topic because we were talking about style bender. Take a guess what his finishing rate is.
As champion?
Sure.
30%.
Okay. He wishes it was 30%, Dr. Jim.
Oh, 20%. I was so close.
One out of five fights as champion has the last decision bender finished. 20%. Pre-title, he only finished 3 out of 7. So I think people forget that this guy was not a finisher, right? So 43% without the title or fighting for a title, 20% with the title, Jimmy.
It is very interesting. It also, it comes down to style. Like he is a Muay Thai fighter. He's a kickboxer and his style is to stay on his feet and to maintain distance. Now, with that being said,
Anderson Silva is a Muay Thai fighter.
Okay, you can arguably say that he's a finisher. Now, with that being said, and I'm sure that this is something that we're going to be, you know, leading into very shortly, but I want to jump in this right away. They have to make that fight with Alex Pereira, Poatang, so they can have that rematch that they've been saying that they need forever. Not because I think that Poatang is gonna beat Adesanya handily. Adesanya, I think, has matured as an MMA fighter because it's a different game. Yeah. But I think Pereira also showed quite convincingly with his knockout win over Strickland that he has the capability to stand and bang and knock people out, just like he did when he was fighting, you know, in K1 kickboxing before.
Yeah, although I would say I take a little bit of offense, or no, I don't agree that Sean Strickland got whooped. I get that he got knocked out. But yes, he was not losing the fight. He was actually pushing.
He was the aggressor.
He avoided the leg kick. He was doing what he was going to do. And the hook that caught him, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't to the temple or to the ear. It was like right on the chin, perfectly placed. It wasn't even like he got smashed. You know what I mean? It was just that perfect click.
Yeah,
that knocked him out. I don't think Sean Strickland necessarily loses any popularity or fame for this knockout. I mean, I know it sucks, but he wasn't getting beaten for 2-3 rounds and then gets knocked out.
No, not at all. No, he was walking down. He was the one who was leading the fight.
He was doing what he was going to do. That's how he wins his fights. That's how he fights. He got clipped, unlucky, right? But kudos to... how do you say his nickname?
Poatang. Well, that's one thing to keep in mind about Alex Pereira. He has knockout power. He's got a vicious left hand. That's what he beat Adesanya with before.
Yeah.
And it can look innocuous. It doesn't look like it's much, but there's a lot of power behind that left hand, and he set it up perfectly. He did set that punch up beautifully, and he caught Strickland with it, and that was the end of the fight. Now, I know that I know that Strickland was ranked number 4, probably still is. I don't even believe that Pereira was ranked at that point, but they're working that up. They're building that up so that
That's the next fight, Jim.
I think so.
There's no chance in hell that is not the next fight. There's nobody that deserves the title shot better than Alex Pereira, right?
Yeah.
The hair? How are you saying? I'm going to do another style bender thing that just came out, okay? And I'm going to show you this video. I don't know that you've seen this, but let's see what you think about this video. And again, you'll hear it, but come on over to the video and watch this clip. This is style bender, I believe, after the fight. It's during the UFC 276 week. Anyways, he's talking to media. Here's a clip.
You guys have a job to do, and I'm not criticizing you guys in particular, I kind of am, but just remember this: I can do your job. You could never do my job. Just remember that. I could do your job, trust me. I got freestyle bender David runs that shit, but if I wanted to, if I had the time, I could. And I appreciate you guys for what you do, but not just for me, but for other fighters, man. Be mindful with your words. Be mindful with the way you clickbait. That shit is weak. That shit is weak, because I know how YouTube works now, and I know how these interviews work. I'm glad I have my own network, but just be mindful, because I can do your job, and you can't do mine. Just remember that. Thank you.
He's obviously talking to the media.
Sounds a little frustrated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jim, I can see this both ways, but what is your immediate reaction now as a professional podcaster, co-host, slash guest, slash...
You mean you're going to bring me back?
Well, very unlikely after
that. No, not after that gaffe. I can appreciate where he's coming from. Like, this is a man who's putting everything into the ring. He's training. This is his life. This is what he does. And, you know, I can appreciate the frustration. Perhaps he feels that he's not getting, you know, the credit that he deserves. Maybe he feels like he's being disrespected. But at the same token, you know, he is still speaking to not just the media, but the media is presenting him to his fans. And so you also have to kind of, you know, peddle that very carefully too, right? Like, you want to make sure that you're not alienating the fan base either. But you can really look at it from both perspectives. He's frustrated. He's telling the media, you know, they need to be respectful, not just to him, but he does mention other fighters as well.
Yeah,
exactly. But you also want to make sure that you're not saying anything that's going to, you know, tarnish your reputation with your fans. It's a tough one.
Okay. You're going at it from a slightly different angle than I am.
Mm-hmm.
What I take offense to is that he's saying he can do the media's job.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
And I'm like, you motherfucker, you think that like what the media does is just simple? Like, look, they've got to put up with all these weirdos and strange personalities, and they've got to put out the stories. And like you said, they have to be respectful. I mean, for the most part, media stories are always quite respectful. At least they just show the facts as they are, as best as they mm-hmm. can, right? He's not talking to a room full of like idiots on Instagram. He's talking to like the professional, like I would have to assume the people that are in the 276 presser are like credentialed journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys bust their ass. They've reached, you know, probably I'm assuming the top of their thing, whatever they do, to be at the UFC 276 to report on that. You know what I mean? Like running this podcast, I put a lot of effort in. Stylebender, I don't think you could do this podcast, dude. Fuck that. I put in a lot of effort. You know, it takes work. You saw how Dr. Jim just screwed up the intro today, right? That's because it takes practice, right? It takes effort. So for him to say that, I was just immediately annoyed. That I'm like, why would you put them down? And then you're complaining about the way they misrepresent you. I'm like, you just freaking crapped on all of them in the room. Yeah.
Fair point.
And how do you know none of those reporters are in MMA? Like, how do you know none of them are training? So when you go, oh, you can't do what I do. Dude, you're not the freaking greatest. Jan Blachowicz beat you, I know, at a higher weight class, but whatever. But you got to be humble a bit. So now you're just bad mouthing all these guys in the room. Get the hell out of here, Prince. Yeah, we will never have Adesanya on this podcast. Not just because he will never come, but because I will decline it.
Yeah. But a little bit of humility goes a long way sometimes, right?
I just think it's the irony of it
when
he says it to a room saying, hey, you got to be nice. And then, you know, kind of craps on them. So let me just, and then funny, so he posts that on his Instagram. I write a response going, dude, I think you gotta be a little bit nicer, whatever. Then I scroll down and I see legendary Canadian broadcaster Robin Black. Okay, so for those of you that know, he's the guy that does the Bink videos, right? Bink, blah blah, and he does those 1 minute breakdowns with Robin Black, right? Okay, cool guy. Like him. I'm really hoping actually that we're going to have him on the podcast. He's a good dude. He puts like a fist and a fire emoji. And I'm like, you're a media guy. Why would you be happy that he's saying that? Because I took it as kind of offensive. So I wrote back. I wrote to Robin Black and I'm like, hey, dude, you're okay with that? And then he writes back and he goes, what am I okay with? I'm like, did you see because it's the third thing on the slide. And I'm like, did you see the video? And he goes, oh. So it's so funny. So then, but he writes back, and I'm just going to reply. I mean, this is not a private conversation. He wrote this on the thread. Mm-hmm. He writes and he goes, what are you referring to? And I go, you got to look at the video. And then, so he writes back and he says, ah, okay, I watched it now. He can certainly do some version of modern media, as modern media has essentially become simply individuals reacting to what they see and expressing opinions. He can certainly do that. Yes, some individual media can elevate the genre, but modern media today has almost no barrier to entry. So I have no problem with his basic premise. He's an elite. He's the elite of the elite in martial arts and could do basic media as it is today. Which again, I get it. But that's not who he was talking to in that room. But maybe Adesanya meant it to go out to the world.
Maybe right? Maybe it was for, you know, the, like you described, the people who are, you know, more the Instagrammers and the so on and so right. forth, and not the you know, the more established media personalities that are out there.
Yeah.
No, I identify
with both. Yeah. So you know, I think that's interesting. Style bender, but anyways, again, I'm just gonna put the slide up one more time, dude. 43% finishing pre-title, 20% post-title. Interesting stat. Anyways, I'm gonna share those slides on our Instagram, and we'll see how people react to that, because that's always the argument I make whenever people say GSP is the greatest. I'm like, I don't know, man. His finishing rate kind of sucked once he had the title. Like, it's worse that it goes down, because then you're like, okay, and like you said, well, I'm protecting the title.
Yeah, but I guess it just depends on what metrics you're looking at, and like, of course, you know, yeah. So, but I remember correctly, I believe that there was an interview that he did where he actually specifically mentions GSP. In terms of, you know, the not maybe not so much the finishing rate, but, you know, as one of the greatest champions that was out there and how he was defending his belt. So, you know, perhaps he puts himself in that same category, you know, the way that he fights and the way that he defends.
I mean, that's like $1 million man Ted DiBiase. You just like walk out and then you just don't let yourself get, and you do the count out, right? Like, get counted out. Don't even think. Okay. Let's move on. I do want to talk about a new company that actually reached out and is supporting the show, and it is called, Jimmy, I think you're gonna like this.
Okay.
So I don't have this, but this is called Bro Dough. It is cookie dough.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Edible cookie dough, and it's called Bro Dough. BRODOUGH. I know you can't really read that well, but anyways, if you go to brodough.ca, you can use code FIGHTINSIGHT for 15% off. Okay. So yeah, Bro Dough. It's 50% less sugar, 5 times the protein, 0 preservatives, 100% plant-based, 0 artificial sweeteners. So check out Bro Dough, B-R-O-D-O-U-G-H.
Bro Dough.
Yeah. And use code FIGHTINSIGHT. I'm going to try this for the first time live on air. All right. So
What happened to my tub?
I ate your tub previously. Oh, no, I did not. I haven't tried this.
All right,
here we go. Ready? I'm going to try this. I'm going to see how good this is. Cookie dough. I've always wanted to try this stuff. Holy crap, that's delicious.
That's good stuff.
This can't be good for you.
But it says it is.
Yeah. Plant-based protein packed. Dude, this is good. All right, go try this, Jimmy. Again, if you come over, I'll get you some of this stuff. Man, this is good. This is a chocolate chip flavor. Oh,
it's a cookie dough. Yeah, this
is really good, man. All right. Jimmy, let's talk about this weekend's fights. What do we have here? We've got... this is Rafael versus Rafael.
That's right. We got Rafael Dos Anjos, and we have Rafael Fiziev. Yes. A prolific Muay Thai striker.
Oh my God, he is the greatest. He was a coach at Tiger Muay Thai, right?
He was with Tiger Muay Thai, and he was with Phuket Muay Thai Club, something like that. And then he went into MMA. Phenomenal striker.
Incredible dude. Just before we get there, Jimmy, you know the podcast. We never lie about fights that we're really too interested about, so we skip over most. Ricky Tercios, like I said, he's fighting Ayman Zahabi, which is the brother of Firas Zahabi.
Okay.
GSP's coach. I think it's the brother. Anyways, Ricky Tercios fighting on the prelim card, which is a goddamn shame. but that's fine. Go watch your boy, Ricky Tercios, Hadouken Tercios. Know what I mean? Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? He always says that, Dr. Jim. Know what I'm saying? So Ricky Tercios, go watch him. You've got Nina Nunes, so Amanda Nunes's wife, versus Cynthia Cavillo. That's a good mm-hmm. fight, actually. Those two match up well. Michael the Menace Johnson. Dude, I love that guy. He is back after his big victory just recently, which was his victory in a long time. That's going to be a good fight. Okay, main event, blah, blah, blah. There's other fighters. Main event, Fiziev versus Dos Anjos.
Mm-hmm.
The winner gets to continue using the name Rafael. The loser must legally change his name. That's a stipulation people don't know about. Jimmy, who do you have on this fight? Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, this is a tough one. Dos Anjos has, you know, an insane record. He's like 31-13. He's an exceptionally talented and, you know, experienced fighter. He's been around forever, obviously. but Fiziev is that young up and coming striker who's, you know, moved into MMA, and he's definitely shown himself as an exceptionally talented individual. It's a tough one, but I have a thing for the strikers. That's where my heart goes. So I got to go with Fiziev on this one. I think that he's going to take this one, and I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be by knockout.
Yeah. Rafael Dos Anjos only has 3 wins in his last 7. Wins over Renato Moicano and Paul Felder. So those are both fights that, okay, like those are not top of the division dudes. I apologize. But, you know, only won 3 of his last 7 versus Fiziev, who is on a bloody streak, right? Fiziev is 11-1. He's on a 5-fight win streak. Not only that, Dr. Jimmy, last 4 fights, performance of the night, fight of the night, performance of the night, fight of the night.
Yeah. Yeah. It's those hands.
Four fights in a row, you're getting performance of the night, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting a bonus. This dude is on a tear. And, I think Fiziev takes it in the first round knockout. I think he's just too much. He's young. Yeah. He's hungry. Dos Anjos is 37. He's not that old, but Fiziev is 29. And I feel like the age difference there is going to be a big thing too.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a second round knockout by Fiziev. I'm going to give Dos Anjos the first. Yeah. He's going to make it through the first. I think this is going to go second round.
Interestingly, this is a Fight Insight exclusive. Instead of a loser loses the name match, they initially had it as a hair versus hair match. They were going to do if Fiziev loses, he had to cut off his ponytail.
And what about the beard?
And no, it was the ponytail. They were going to
slip
the ponytail.
Oh, yeah.
And if Dos Anjos loses, they shave his mustache. So that was even more interesting, but they've gone the Rafael versus Rafael. So, yeah. You heard it here first, Dr. Jimmy. All right, buddy. We are right at perfect timing. So for your first time guest co-hosting, you definitely have kept us on time, my friend. Guys, if you weren't here last week for whatever dumb reason, which that was one of our best podcasts ever with Bam Bam, it was Prince CD's last episode last week. So right now we're rotating guest co-hosts every week. You know, we're always bringing you guests from around the world of combat sports, but we'll also bring in some guest co-hosts to come in. Dr. Jimmy, you'll do this again?
Of course, 100%. And I will be on time with my cue this time. I apologize, okay. But...
Do you want to try it again?
Yes, let's do it again.
Okay, all right. Hold on. One more practice. One more practice. Yeah. Maybe I could edit. No, I won't edit this because then it would ruin all the jokes.
No one needs to know, Tim. No one needs to know.
Ladies and gentlemen from San Clemente, please welcome to the podcast,
Laura La Jefa Gallardo.
Oh my God, that was so much better.
Right?
What a mess. Sure. Dr. Jimmy, guys, thank you for coming. Follow, subscribe, do all that jazz. Our Instagram is blowing up. We're doing much, much better lately. Our socials are doing better. Our follows are doing better. Our views are doing better on the podcast. So tell your friends, come on over. Dr. Jimmy, go get all your chiropractor buddies to watch.
I'm on it.
What else we got? Anything else, Jimmy, before we go? Anything you need
to
say?
Nope. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast and co-hosting with you. And as always, you know, thank you for the shirt. I love to represent.
Yes, yes. You still owe me money for that. All right, guys. Have a good one, guys. See you next week. Will be a great podcast. Laura Gallardo, thank you so much. That was friggin' amazing. And Matt Quesobidio, you're like one of the best friends of the show as well, man. We can't wait to see what happens next for you. And maybe Matt will come and co-host with me one day.
That'd be awesome.
He's a great dude. All right, guys, have a good one. Thank you so much. Right at the 1 hour mark.